And Father, we pray that you would open our eyes afresh to who Jesus is and to why he came, and you might give us grace to respond to him rightly and to live faithfully in the light of what he has done for us. For his name's sake. Amen. Now in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28, in the account of Palm Sunday, which we read, Luke began by saying, after Jesus had said this, and then the account of the triumphal entry. Of course, Luke needn't have bothered to start like that. He could have just launched into the next thing, or he could say later or next or some other marker of time. As he begins this new section, Luke is deliberately reminding us of Jesus' preceding words. Luke is saying, remember what Jesus has just said. Be careful to read this next bit in the light of the last bit. When you think about Palm Sunday, keep these words of Jesus in mind, Luke is saying. And just before the passage that we read, Jesus has told a parable. We're told, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. And this particular parable is a story about a man of noble birth who went to a distant country to have himself appointed as king, and then to return. But while he's away, some of the servants decide that they don't want this man to be their king, but he's made king anyway, and he returns home. Of course, it's a parable about Jesus, who is God's appointed king, and about the Jewish leaders, who largely rejected him. They had their chance to welcome Jesus as their king, but many of Jesus' subjects didn't want him as their king. In the parable, the newly appointed king returns and judges his servants. He says to the wicked servants, those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them in here and kill them in front of me. Very striking and harsh words. It's judgment without mercy. Although Jesus is the most loving person who ever lived, we read him repeatedly warning of the judgment of God which was coming on Jerusalem in his generation. If what he's saying is true, it is loving, isn't it, that Jesus warns us of the judgment to come. So as we come to Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry, the people had just heard this warning of judgment. Luke wants us to remember it. And the account of the triumphal entry will end with Jesus giving another warning of judgment. As we read about the festivities of Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, we have this parable of Jesus in mind. The idea of the kingdom of God coming, and a story about a man appointed king. In the account of the triumphal entry, Jesus is repeatedly called Lord or Master. He's very deliberately in charge of events. He's arranged it all in advance, and everything happens just as he said it would. The passage rich with the fulfilment of scripture. And the spreading of cloaks in front of someone on the road, we might think of Sir Walter Raleigh and Queen Elizabeth I and her puddle, but a really keen Bible student would think, of course, of 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 13. Because spreading cloaks in front of someone is what the people do to Jehu when they want him to be their king. It seems to be a kind of pledge of allegiance, a way of saying, be our ruler. The disciples want Jesus as king. Their attitude is very different from most of the Jewish leaders and from the wicked servants in the parable. And as Jesus rides into the capital city, the disciples joyfully praise God in loud voices. They shout out those words of Psalm 118. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees don't like it. They definitely don't want Jesus as their king, and they want Jesus' supporters shut up. But Jesus says that if his disciples were to keep quiet, the very stones would cry out. Jesus is the King of creation, the King of the universe. And so our passage asks us, do you want Jesus as your King to rule over you? Will you accept him as your rightful ruler and pledge your loyalty to him? He will come again to judge the world. He came first time as our loving saviour. He's a king who weeps with compassion for his people. He longs that they might know what would bring them peace. And again, he lovingly warns them of the judgment to come. Tragically, many people have failed to bow the knee to King Jesus. More than that, Jesus is God come in the flesh. But in his own generation, many did not recognize the time of God's coming to them. Jesus is accused of claiming to be the king of the Jews. Herod and his soldiers will put a fine robe on him and mock him as a king. The priests reject King Jesus again and again, although he's shown to be innocent. They call for Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be crucified. King Jesus dies the death he does not deserve in the place of a sinner. The soldiers mock him. If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. But this king doesn't choose to save himself. And precisely by refusing to save himself, he saves others. He dies to save his people, the innocent for the guilty, that they might be forgiven. And the inscription above him reads, "The King of the Jews." He's a king rejected and praised and crucified, but also received. Rejected, praised, crucified, and received. Received perhaps by a surprising person. Is one of the criminals crucified with Jesus who recognises him as king, who receives him by faith. That dying criminal admits his guilt. He says, "We indeed are condemned justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." And he pleads a simple prayer, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What remarkable insight that is, that this dying criminal should see in the person crucified next to him a king coming into his kingdom. He realises by faith, not by sight, that Jesus is the king of death, the ruler over the grave. And so he prays that simple prayer, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And that's a prayer for mercy that Jesus always loves to answer. Jesus longed that the people would know what would make for their peace. And even as he died in agony, this criminal found peace with God, peace within. Jesus saved him and he was forgiven. Jesus' royal promise to him and all who will pray a prayer like him is, "Truly I tell you, you will be with me in paradise." Will you have Jesus, this rejected, crucified man, as your king? He loves you and longs for you to know peace and pardon. If you will admit your guilt and need and take him as your king, Jesus will gladly receive you into his kingdom. If you put your trust in him, you can be sure that when you die, you will be in paradise with him. Let's recognise afresh that in Jesus, God has come to us and pledged our loyalty to him, our merciful, crucified, risen King who rules over death. Even today, may the praises of Jesus resound from our hearts and lives. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Amen.